Welcome to the weekend edition of the Daily Dad Podcast, where on the weekends we do a deeper dive at how to get better at our most important job, being a parent. Sometimes in these episodes, I talk to best-selling authors and elite performers and other guests. But lately, I've also been having conversations with my wife, Samantha, the co-parent of my two boys. We do it over in the Daily Stoic studio here in Bastrop, Texas. She and I talk about things that we're working on as parents, things that we're working on as people, and how we are supporting each other, challenging each other, and like I said, trying to get better at what we do. Guest or not, I hope you hear some ideas here that will help make you a better parent. I was better for having the conversation. I hope you enjoy. Just taking my son out for a bike ride. I'm flying out later tonight. And I put him in the bike stroller. I put on my Hoka Mach 6s. We did about 10 miles on the dirt road that we live. He's just getting too big for the bike stroller. What's funny, because I remember in the early days of the pandemic, he was too young for it. And that's just life. They're always growing. And it goes by so fast. And my kids are pretty dang fast in their Mach 6s by Hoka. We all have a matching set now. It's a light, fast, and undeniably comfy shoe. It's got a kid-specific design, and the fit will free your kid's inner speedster for a daily fun. The adult version is not too bad either. To learn more about the kids' Mach 6 shoe, visit today's show notes and check it out. Hey, it's Ryan. Welcome to another episode of the Daily Dad Podcast. We've got a little bit of a compilation episode for you here today. First, I'm going to bring you some stoic parenting tips, and then I'm going to bring you a little bit of a conversation that I had with the comedian Tom Segura. If you haven't seen his comedy special Sledgehammer, there's a bunch of hilarious kid bits in there. And he came out to the Painted Porch. Actually, his wife had come out a couple weeks earlier, Christina P., also a hilarious comedian. And I did the Two Bears and One Cave podcast back in February of 23. But we talked some parenting stuff. I texted Tom the other day. I said, I'm just curious, how many times a week do you feel like you get hit in the nuts by your kids? I was just trying to compare. And, you know, we were talking, maybe this is a stoic parenting rule, a little premeditatio malorum, or just ready at all times to just get whacked or hit, or things to get broken, or you to get woken up in the middle of the night. So he's a very, very funny guy, and I think this was a great conversation. So first, some tips, and then some advice and parenting thoughts from the one and only Tom Segura. You can check out his book, I'd Like to Play Alone, Please, at the Painted Porch. And if you haven't seen Sledgehammer or any of his specials, you absolutely should. And Christina P's special Mom Jeans is also hilarious. Most of the Stoics do have children. And not only that, I think some of their best insights come from having kids and specifically address how to be a better parent. I'm Ryan Holiday. In addition to writing these books about Stoic philosophy, I've spoken to the NBA and the NFL, special forces operators and sitting senators. But I'm also a parent. I have two young children. And in today's episode, I want to talk about what the Stoics can teach us about our most important job, raising great kids, being a great parent. And it turns out there's quite a bit.
In the book, you highlight stories about the importance of modeling the behavior that you want your children. When I grow up, they say, don't do as I do as I say.
Yes, it should be the opposite.
You have a quote from Robert Fulghum. It says, don't worry that children never listen to you. Worry that they are always watching you.
The great John Wooden had a poem in his office, and it said, a little fellow follows you. And he tried to make all the decisions, do his work with the idea that his son was always following behind him, watching, observing, learning how to be. So we can't just talk about our philosophy to Stoics, we have to embody it, we have to show it. It doesn't matter what we say.
Right.
If our actions show our kids that we don't mean it, that it's not actually important.
There's moments, though, that we have where you're like, oh, I'm so glad I was there.
Of course.
For this.
Yes.
Daughter becoming a teenager. Son. Hey, what's up, buddy? I had a tough day today. You did. Oh, you're already as a parent going, they told me they had a tough day.
They shared.
They let me see they gave me access and they shared that. Oh my gosh. And then, I don't know, this, and all of a sudden, you're in a conversation where, forget being away. If it was 30 minutes later, you might not have got that.
Or if you were looking at this thing.
Yeah, 5 minutes later. Or if you were there and doing something else. And then they'll ask a question. You know those beautiful and awesome questions that we get as parents, the ones that go into our ears and through our brain and tell us, this is a great opportunity for a great answer, because my answer is shaping the lens with which they will see the world through for the rest of their life. When we can pull off that answer in a way, it's not bop, 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 but they can go, yeah.
Consistency as a parent, I've found to be kind of the most rewarding things from a child's perspective. It's very hard to get into the mind of a four-year-old, of an eight-year-old, but when there's consistency at hand, like, you can really see the response from them.
You can see if your kid's routine is disrupted. You see how disrupted they are. If you normally do things a certain way, or if your life is chaos, you see how it manifests in their behavior. We're not that different. I realize that if I don't have a routine, my behavior suffers and my willpower suffers and my equanimity suffers. And so I think everyone should be on a sleep schedule. Everyone should be on a routine. It's a human thing as opposed to a kid thing.
I think letting them fail, that's a big deal, where you get these helicopter parents. A lot of people talk about that. Everybody knows what that means. Letting them take some chances, letting them fall down, even when you know you want to protect them a little bit. So, like, for instance, I used to wake the kids up in the morning to get them ready for school. Now I'm like, no, wake yourself up. Set your own alarm. You're at that point. And this is my 7-year-old. Like, I want them to take control of their lives, knowing that I'm there for them. I think you might have recommended it, the book, The Self-Driven Child.
Yes.
Which is a great book. And that's another thing too. I think as a parent, if you're not educating yourself, getting the Daily Dad and reading about parenting, asking great parents, asking people that love their parents. That's a big question I ask. How was your childhood growing up? And they're like, oh, I love my dad. I love my mom. Okay, why? I look at parenting just like I look at my job. And also being a husband too. Those are the three things in my life. My job, my husbanding, and my parenting. I want to be really, really, really good at those. And I'll educate myself. I approach it like a job. Like, I want to do research on it. I'll write in my journal about it. I want to know how I can be the best I can be at it.
If you think back to when you were a kid, what appeared to you to be the best part about being an adult? No more school. Our parents didn't have to carry around heavy books or do homework. We never saw them applying to get into this school or that one. It's sort of sad that, by and large, we show our kids that education stops. That while adulthood isn't always fun, one perk is that you no longer have to go to class. That graduation is a final destination. It doesn't have to be this way. There's the story of Epictetus teaching one day when a student's arrival caused a commotion in the back of class. Who was it? It was Hadrian, the emperor. Hadrian's example clearly had an impact on his successor and adopted grandson, Marcus Aurelius. Late in his reign, a friend spotted Marcus heading out, carrying a stack of books. Where are you going? He asked. Marcus was on his way to a lecture on Stoicism, he said. For learning is a good thing, even for one who is growing old. I am now on my way to Sextus the philosopher to learn that which I do not yet know. If you want your kids to value learning, if you want them to never stop furthering the education you've been investing so much time and money and worry into, then we have to show them what an adult committed to lifelong learning actually looks like. We have to show them that we have not graduated, that we are not on summer break, and we have not arrived at the final destination of education. Wisdom, they must learn, is an endless pursuit.
I know this woman, her name is Dolores, she's 94. I call her my grandmother. And I was talking to her the other day and she was telling me her big regret was that when her kids were little, she took pride in how clean her house was. And she said, people used to come over and go, it doesn't look like you have kids. And that meant something to her.
Was her point that she didn't let her kids have a little room to play and get dirty?
Her point was how hollow that seems in retrospect. Yeah. Today, people are gonna be looking at Instagram reels. They get a false version of what people's houses look like. They don't realize that just out of frame is all the same toys that are on the floor in your house. When I look at my house, I want it to look like I have kids because I do have kids and they're a central part of my life and existence. There's this great expression that any fool can learn by experience. We want to learn from the experience of others and talk to people who've been through it or on way on the other side. And you realize a lot of the things you're valuing as a parent, things you're feeling guilty about as a parent, things you're comparing yourself to against in other parents, they will not matter to you in the end.
So the key to parenting is presence. You have to give them lots of presence.
Not that kind of presence, the other kind, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, presence. You have to be present. When you're with your kids, be with your kids. Don't be somewhere else. Don't be on your phone. Don't be thinking about something else. Don't be trying to rush through it. When you're with your kids, be with your kids. Presence is the key to good parenting.
I think we talk about this all the time with just general parenting, and like the longer we're in this, the more that we realize it, that every single thing is just a phase, and there's longer phases and shorter phases, but the more you realize that it's all a phase, like the easier it gets to get through the hard ones.
It gets easier to get through the hard ones, and it should make you take the ones that you're in a little bit more seriously, the good ones. You only get 3 years of doing this thing or 3 months of doing this thing, and like it's going to be gone. So if you resented it or you took it for granted or you were excited about what the next thing was, you only get the thing that they are for a day, a week, a month. It's all transitory and ephemeral and changing. When your kids are babies, you say, I can't wait for them to start walking. But what doesn't occur to you because you're excited about the next thing is that that means they stop crawling. You don't realize that the thing you're excited about, being excited about it, is inherently rushing you through the thing that's now that you will miss.
What's the best piece of parenting advice you've ever been given?
When I went on book tour for Steal Like an Artist, my wife was pregnant with our first kid, and I asked everyone for parenting advice. It was all different. Everyone had a different piece of advice. And I usually ask people on planes when I discovered they were parents. There was one guy, he looked over at me, put his seatbelt on, and he said, strap in. And that honestly has been the best advice. It's a good metaphor, because for me, the problem with a lot of parents, and particularly fathers, if you start out with all these visions of what you think your child is going to be, like, I'm gonna teach them how to throw a baseball, and I teach them how to ride a bike, and I teach them all this stuff, all this wisdom you're going to impart to them, you can set yourself up for tragedy. Think less about imparting wisdom or like teaching directly, and more that I'm going to create a healthy learning environment for them to become the human that they need to be. It's almost like, don't think about being a classroom teacher, think more of like being a librarian.
I was thinking about on the way here how my kids are the ones who have made me like be aware and laugh at my outrage when I've gotten upset.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no one's ever done that to me, you know, in my whole life.
Yeah.
Like I'm driving.
They didn't take it seriously. They don't take it because you're a joke of a person.
Yeah.
And you are when you're doing that.
I'm driving the car.
Yeah.
And I think about this, that like how everyone else has reacted. I'm driving the car and it's like, you know, whatever they're doing back there, I'm like, knock it off.
Yeah.
Hey guys, seriously. Hey, if you know,
yeah.
I'm going to count to three. You know what? When we get home then, taking the stuff away, guys. And then I'm like, I've had fun, you know, like, God damn it. And as I'm doing that, my youngest is laughing so hard. And I'm in a full, like, full, like, rage. Knock it the fuck out.
He knows you're totally impotent.
Yeah.
You can't do anything about
it.
You won't.
He's like, he's laughing so hard that I turn back and I start to, like, laugh to myself.
Yeah.
And that's the part that's never happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
When you go, I'm fucking serious. Like, everyone's like, all right. You know, like, but this is the only time where I've done that and then laughed and I'm driving. I'm like, that got me nowhere. Like, how silly do I look? Then I even in my own head go, this is not worth getting as upset as I just got. And then this kid's just like, do that thing again. Like he thinks it's a bit.
Yeah, yeah, sure. You know? No, as an adult, you have made up that it's not pathetic and ridiculous to be yelling in your closed metal box at someone else traveling 80 miles hour away from you in their own metal box.
Yeah.
But your kid, that's the most absurd thing in the entire world.
Absurd, yeah.
Yeah.
They've also checked me in a different, like at home, I'm very upset about something and I've had them be like, hey, I'm like, what? He's like, I'm a kid. You need to talk to me. I'm like, what the fuck, man? Like, and I start laughing again. And then I realize that he's right. That's the crazy thing is it's a fucking 7-year-old just being like, as a kid, you just need to talk to me in a normal voice. I'm like, okay. Could you please not paint the walls?
They weaponize stuff and it's so brilliant. Like I was asking my son, I was like, hey, I need you to do this or whatever. And he goes, is it okay if I say no? Like,
yeah.
I was like, where did you, that's like you got to put on your clothes and be like, my body, my choice, you know? And you get these things that actually, that's actually like a good point. And that is a thing that you should know. And I'm glad that you know it. And why am I the only person that you're using it against?
Yeah.
You know, like a stranger, you'd probably be like, sure, put a new shirt on me. Like,
yeah, that, yeah.
But like me, I'm doing it and you're going to get in my way about it. But like, so where did you get this? And it just stops you. It's like when he was like, is it okay if I say no? It was so earnest that it stopped me cold. And I was like, I mean, I guess.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It doesn't, this, what I'm asking you to do, I don't even know why I'm asking you to do it. It doesn't actually matter.
Sure.
So sure. Yes, you can choose to say, yeah. You should choose to say no. And it kind of just stops you just like that.
It does. And it really makes you think about how stupid things are.
Yeah, like how, like, why do we have to be on time?
What are these rules about?
Well, I don't know why we have to be on time. Mm. I just made up in my head that it would be bad if we got here at 10:06 instead of 10. And I don't even want to go to the thing that I'm rushing us towards.
Yeah.
And you don't want to go. So we should take our time. Then we don't have to be there as long. It's like, great point. The other day he picked up a copy of The Daily Stoic, which is on the counter. He goes, oh, look, it's Daddy's book, The Daily Butthole. Just like, great. Appreciate that. Yeah. And it just, so there's also just an inherent and repeated humbling that having
all the
kids
time.
Is.
I get called so many names. Butthole is like one of the most popular.
Yes.
Yeah, the other day, I couldn't get this flashlight that I plugged in. It wouldn't come on. And then I come in the room and it's on. I go, how'd you get that to work? And he goes, I used my ass. And I go, hey, man. I go, no, seriously, how'd you get it to work? He goes, I did. And I go, I really want to know.
Yeah.
And then he comes over and he shows me that he used his ass to like to push it into the wall. And I go, okay. He goes, maybe you could try using your ass. And I go, okay, thank you very much. Like, but yeah, it's a lot of insults. I get a lot of insults from these guys.
I have learned, like, whenever my kids say that they've saw something or that something happened, that I just have to believe them.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, I saw a monkey riding a tricycle. And I'm sure you did. And then sure enough, there's like a monkey riding a tricycle.
Yeah.
Actually, one happened with your son. I don't remember exactly, so I won't, like, you don't have to say what it is. But your son has like a weird nickname, right? And my son goes like, can we send this to computer? And I go like, what the fuck are you talking
about? Yeah.
And I went to my wife and I was like, what the fuck is, who is this person that he's talking about? And it was your kid.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he wanted to like send him something from Minecraft or whatever. And I go, oh, okay. I'll just assume, like, I assume you don't know what you're talking about because you never know what you're talking about. And in fact, you always know what you're talking about. And I'm the one who doesn't know what I'm talking
about. That's totally true. They say things that are, you know, when it sounds outrageous, it is actually true.
Yes.
Yeah. It happens all the time. Yeah. All the time.
No, like I remember he would come in our room in the middle of the night and go like, something woke me up. And we're like, sure you did. You just want to come in our bed. And then one night I slept in his bed or I fell asleep in his bed. And then sure enough, at like 2 a.m, something my neighbors were doing woke me up.
Oh.
And I was like, it was actually a really good lesson to me, which is like, hear them, like actually put them in. Because again, they might be wrong. Like there isn't actually a monster in their closet, but it turns out there's this thing that's lighting up and it looks like eyes.
Yeah.
And that's terrifying. And so it's also this, like you think you know, but you don't. And if you just listen, they'll tell you. And then the other thing I've tried to remember, this is a great piece of advice I got about parenting. They said, the language of children is behavior. So like they don't know what they're experiencing and they couldn't articulate it if they did. So their behavior is telling you something. So you have to listen to that also.
That's really interesting. Yeah, the behavior. And they basically tell you, they do tell you, they lie.
Yeah.
But they do tell you what happened. They don't, every time like they tell me something that they saw or experienced, my kid just got into somewhat of a fight at school. One of them did. And I was like, but I mean, I learned, you know, the story changed, but the bones were true. You know, the bones were true.
Yeah. It's like I don't think my kids have ever said, I'm tired. I'm hungry.
Yeah.
But when my oldest hit his brother, he was saying, I'm tired or I'm hungry.
Sure.
You know, it's like they're speaking. They just don't have the words to say those things. And then, so if I can sort of go, okay, they're speaking with their behavior and I have to like, I'm reading you loud and clear that it's time to leave this party.
Yeah.
You know, like you are telling me, because actually we found this with my son. He would do this thing where he'd be like, I'd be like, you know, if you throw sand at the beach again, we're going to have to go home. And then it's like, oh, he wants to go home.
He wants to go home.
He wants to go home. Right. And actually, because why is he throwing an after we said this? It's like, oh, he didn't know he could just ask to go home.
Right.
And because he didn't think that he has the power to tell the whole family that we can leave. But he does. He could say like, hey, I'm ready to go. And be like, okay, well, we'll wrap up.
He doesn't know how
to
do that, really.
Yeah. And so going like, oh, they're trying to talk to you. They just don't have the words to do that.
That's really interesting.
And then people are talking to you all the time. Like, you know, like your spouse isn't being a bitch. She's tired or hungry.
Right.
Right. Or like the person in front of you is having a hard time. Like, they're not a monster. They're just having a hard time. They're not being that way on purpose. They would rather not be this way.
Right.
It doesn't make it always possible to put up with it, but it makes it easier to put up with.
If you have awareness.
Yes.
Because I think the big thing is that like most of us, a lot of us are living in this place in our head where voluntarily or involuntarily, you're not considering any of that. You're not considering it with your own kids. You could be like, the fuck would you throw the sand again for?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You're not, and then you have to go like, oh, like you have to take yourself to the place where you go, I should be reading behaviors.
Yeah.
I should be reading the fact that like, I met up with Ryan today and like you were acting a certain, you were, you know, whatever, like threw a glass on the ground. Like,
yeah.
I should read into that. There's something that's causing that.
Hey. Thank you for listening to the Daily Dad Podcast. Leave us a review in iTunes. It helps a great deal. Really appreciate it. And of course, if you know any other dads who could benefit from these messages, please let them know.